Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our outstanding producer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board, taking your phone calls as well. It is Friday, April 12th, 2024. Welcome into hour two of the big show. It's a great day to be from Wisconsin. It is 1:06. Great to have you along here. It is a beautiful day, high atop State Street, a block off the Capitol Square. And here now, once again, very excited, Sam, our morning producer, installed this street cam. And I think, Mr. Zommers, let's take a look here. Very nice. Here's somebody riding a bike there. And right there, see that guy, he did not stop, even though he's at a red light. He just goes across anyway. And then if he gets hit, he's going to complain bitterly he got hit. But anyway, that's all right. It's a beautiful day. Cars going by. And if you're watching on the stream, you see the barricade. It says road closed. That is because they're going to close off that 100 block of State Street for the Dane County Farmers Market, which begins here in Madison this weekend, tomorrow. Very nice.
Very excited for that.
There's a guy in a blaze orange hoodie getting ready for deer hunting in November.
Or just wearing an orange hoodie. Who's to say?
Or just wearing an orange hoodie. Yeah. All right. Well, from time to time, we'll check in with what's happening down there on beautiful State Street, in high atop State Street in Madison. Thank you, Sam, for putting that in. Thank you, Mr. Zommers, for dialing up some street music there. It's a beautiful day. Hopefully a beautiful weekend as well for all of you. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, Peter Rapine, managing editor of E-Bomb World, with a lighter look of the week in review. Looking forward to that. Also, a programming note. Very excited for this. On Monday, join us on Monday as our old friend Matt Flynn will be back on the program. He's going to give us his exclusive interview about his intentions for running for the Wisconsin State Supreme Court. Matt Flynn, a two-time past Democratic of Wisconsin Party chair, had a show on this network for a long time, is back on periodically with us as well. Matt Flynn will be on the program on Monday to tell us his intentions about running for the Supreme Court.
May I make a prediction?
Yes.
What I think he's going to say?
What will he say?
Here's what I think. All right. There's no way in hell I'm running for the state Supreme Court. Well, I'm too old for this. I want to write my books. I think I do a great job, but I think it's time for young people to step up.
We'll see. Well, maybe not. I mean, remember, Matt is younger than both Trump and Biden and Bernie Sanders.
Right.
And
they're not all doing too old stuff. For this as right. in incapable. Too old for this as in I don't want to do this anymore because I've done it for so long. But I could be wrong.
Well, let's find out. Tune in on Monday, noon until 1, the first hour, Matt Flynn with us. Our colleague and friend Maggie Dawn, an attorney herself, we had a lot of calls because we asked the question, with Ann Walsh Bradley stepping down, who should be, not stepping down, but just not running for re-election again, who should be the liberal candidate for state Supreme Court? And that's all we said. We just left it as an open-ended question. Got many a call and text for our colleague Maggie Dawn.
At least 10 different people.
Yes.
Maybe more.
In her own right, an attorney, former, I believe, counsel for the city of Milwaukee.
Yep.
And a successful attorney in her own right. And so I texted her and I said, did you, because I wasn't able to listen yesterday. I had to get my taxes done. Anyway, I said I wasn't able to listen. And so did you address this on the show? And she said, no, I'm not going to. That's just self-indulgent. And I said, well, we've got a lot of people that want you. And she said, well, that's very nice. So I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of great candidates out there. Matt Flynn, Maggie Dawn, and others.
That's at least two.
Both with civic media ties. So we'll see. Maybe Maggie will talk about it today. Maybe we'll have her on as well next week and address herself. So anyway, looking forward to having Matt Flynn back on the program on Monday to talk about his own intentions for a state Supreme Court. And also, while he's here, we'll also ask him about the big Trump trial starts next Monday as well. Gets underway with jury selection, I believe. So Matt will be along to talk to us about that. Looking forward to that. Also, programming note here, the Milwaukee Brewers head east to take on the Baltimore Orioles tonight. The game will be televised only on Apple TV Plus, but the game will still be broadcast across select Civic Media radio stations. Hopefully one of your stations have been selected, as they say. They include news from the center, WRCE, the old hometown in Richland Center, WRJN in Racine and Kenosha, Oshkosh Air Support, WISS in Oshkosh, and 98Q Country, WCQM in Park Falls, 98. That's my fake radio announcer voice.
You know? You don't need a fake radio announcer voice.
Well, people ask you. I bet they say, well, you know, do you have like a voice that you use? I said, just the one God gave me. So because some people do. They have like a radio voice. They make it up. Or they, you know, so I mean, you know, listen to 98Q Country, WCQM in Park Falls, 98.3 FM. They do that thing. And that's fine if people want it. I'm not saying anybody at Park Falls does that. I'm just saying in general, in the radio broadcasting world, you get people that do that. I can't because it would just be too tiring. I have all I could do, you understand, just to maintain who I really am, let alone having a personality.
And that's totally good. But I mean, sometimes the voices are fun.
Well, sure.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Sure, if you want to do a promo like that. But I'm just saying I can't.
Talking like this all the time would be very exhausting and annoying.
Yes. All right. Stop it. All right.
Okay.
Off the WMDX line, texting, someone says Grow Crew, right? So absolutely.
The Brew Crew.
So if you live in Richland Center or Racine, Kenosha, Oshkosh, or Park Falls, you can listen to the Brewers over the air tonight. Remember, we cannot stream them on the Civic Media app because the Major League Baseball group owns that streaming right. So I have to say, unlike Peacock, I actually have Apple TV Plus. So maybe I'll watch it on there and I'll listen to it over a Civic Media station.
I do not have Apple TV. I do have Peacock because
really?
One of my roommates pays for it because there's a lot of sports on there.
All right. Well, very good. Appreciate all the calls last hour on what's happening at the University of Wisconsin system. Want to mention this before I forget it. The story in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We touched on it briefly. It says this is from Rory Linnan. Great reporter there at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Said it's clear from hundreds of vacant teaching positions that Wisconsin's teaching workforce is in trouble. A new state report crystallizes the problem with data from the 21-22 school year. And it goes on to four takeaways from the State Department of Public Instruction's 2022 Educator Preparation Program and Workforce Analysis Report. Median salary for a Wisconsin teacher now, about $57,000 a year. When adjusted for inflation, that is a 13% drop in median pay and a 19% drop in median compensation since 2010. And I know there's going to be some people out there that say, well, 57 grand, that's pretty good. Remember, that's the median pay. That means that at least half the people, half of our educators are making less than that across the state of Wisconsin. Report says while teachers' salaries used to exceed the average salaries for other college graduates, that flipped in 2020, the report shows. On surveys administered by the Department of Public Instruction, school districts reported that compensation was one of the top reasons they had lost teachers. Jill Underley, the state superintendent who heads the DPI, called on lawmakers to increase funding allowances for public schools after years of capping them at levels that have not kept up from inflation. Quote, our education workforce is in crisis. Wisconsin's kids are suffering from losing quality teachers, Underley said in a statement. Solving this challenge starts with upholding the state's responsibility of funding our public schools. We have the resources and we owe it to our kids to do more, unquote. Wisconsin actually saw an increase in students enrolling in education preparation programs, outdoing other states and its own numbers in the last decade. Step away from the article for a minute. UW-Madison here. One of their programs within their College of Education now apparently rated the top one of the top ones in the country. And good on them. back to the story, but after enrollment, a number of factors may be deterring students from the profession. First, students can only complete an education, or rather an educator preparation program, and gain full licensure if they pass a test. It's called FORT, Foundations of Reading Test. Only 48% of test takers passed FORT on their first try in Wisconsin, according to the DPI. 56 passed on any attempt. The FORT passage rates have significantly declined in Wisconsin over the past decade, according to the report, which notes that it is, quote, undoubtedly impacting the workforce. So that's part of the problem. Also, about 71% of Wisconsin teachers are white women. The report found that there have been, quote, no significant changes in the demographics of Wisconsin teachers. The report notes that these demographics are starkly different than the makeup of the student population in the state. This difference matters in terms of student outcomes. Next, special education is the area of greatest need for Wisconsin teachers. The report found that the teaching area with the highest shortages based on licensing data was a special education area, which was consistently, or has been consistently, the highest shortage for the state. About 74% of school districts, 74%, almost three quarters, responded to DPI that they had vacant special education positions. And remember, folks, stepping away from the article, remember, public education, public school districts cannot choose who goes to their schools, unlike private schools, which do not have to take students with special needs. And those special needs could be physical, they could be learning disabilities, they could be severe, profound, they could be not so, might need somebody that needs myself. I'm dyslexic. I didn't know that. Didn't get tested until I was in college. But we have all kinds of kids that need help, basic help just reading. That qualifies as special ed. It's not just the severe and profound folks. These are vacancies that are making it tougher. So is it any wonder in this other report I mentioned, 40% of Wisconsin teachers leaving the profession now after 6 years? Because of a feeling of lack of support. What's your thought on this? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Wisco Paul is next, and your calls as well. Don't go anywhere. It's the All Balls Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 20 now past the hour of 1 o'clock on Friday, April 12th. Zomern's on the board taking your phone calls along with us. We appreciate him. Appreciate all of you for listening. Talking about this story, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Compensation for Wisconsin public school teachers dropping 19% since Scott Walker was elected in 2010. 855-752-4842. Let's go to the phone lines. Wisco Paul. Wisco, thanks for holding through the break. What say you?
Thanks for taking my call, Todd. I can name two things Walker destroyed in this state, the road system and not taking the Medicaid money. But I would like somebody to call in, or you can tell me, what he didn't destroy in this state. Because I can't think of anything. I can't think of anything he hasn't. And messed up or messed with. I mean, the prison system and the list goes on and on, high-speed rail, telling the engineering union he wouldn't take their rights away, and he did. It's a long, long list. So yeah. That's my question for you or any brewers, any of your callers. What didn't this guy mess up? Thanks, Todd. Have a great day. Have a good weekend.
Hey, appreciate it, Wisco. Have a great weekend as well. I'll tell you what he didn't. Wisco's question here, what did former Governor Walker, Scott Walker, not mess up? he's not messing up his hair much anymore because he's going bald, like me. And unlike me that has just said, look, I'm going bald, he claims he hit it. I'm not making this up. He claims he hit his head while fixing and repairing a kitchen cabinet in the executive residence. And that's what, it's just a scar. That's what he said. It's weird how that scar has gotten larger over time.
See, Todd, you're thinking too much. And you know, also, isn't it weird that he'd be repairing his own cabinets at the executive residence when they have people to do that?
It didn't happen, but yes.
I know.
Right? No, Wisco's question is a good one. And in all seriousness, and this is something that triggered me. I mean, I'd heard it other times going around the state with my former boss and former Democratic Majority Leader, Tim Cullen. And it was just put back in perspective last week when Trigvi Olson and I, for the Lincoln Project, traveled around to Richland Center and La Crosse and Eau Claire and Stevens Point and Green Bay. And we actually had people say this to us. We went to different watering holes at night and bought around and had some cheese curds. That was fantastic, by the way. We're going to do it again. But we actually had people tell us on the tour, same thing that people used to tell my former boss and Tim Cullen, that perhaps the greatest harm that Scott Walker did as governor in this state was to divide us. That there are golf foursomes that no longer golf together after Act 10. Families no longer get together completely for Thanksgiving dinner or other holidays because of the divisiveness that Scott Walker fostered during Act 10. And we talked about whether it was conservation, whether it was education, right? Look, when Tommy Thompson was governor, as much as I respect him in many ways, there was something called QEO, Qualified Economic Offer, which capped teachers' salaries to the rate of inflation every year, which now seems to be a novel, right? I think most educators would say, hey, we can live with that, if we would have not had Act 10. But even during the time of Tommy Thompson, there was another guy who we should not forget, named Morris Andrews, who is the head of the Wisconsin Teachers Union, who he and Tommy Thompson sometimes fought bitterly politically, but they also would sit down and later in life became good friends and would call each other. Because even people who were on opposite sides sometimes, like Tommy Thompson, a Republican, and Morris Andrews, a lifelong Democrat, they found ways to work together for the betterment of Wisconsin's education. And Tommy Thompson was a graduate of UW-Madison, of the law school, did his undergrad there. They shared that love of higher education. And that's what I'm saying, that I'm not saying that every Republican that I ever knew was perfect, not by a long shot. By the way, neither is every Democrat. But up until Act 10, up until Scott Walker, we could at least kind of go back and forth, but there were certain lines we did not cross. We cheerleaded for Wisconsin, what was best for the state. And I still maintain the greatest harm that Scott Walker did to the state was to divide us. And we're still trying to recover from that. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Sharky in Racine. Sharky, thanks for listening. Thanks for calling in. What say you?
Hey, thank you for taking my call. I know one thing that Mr. Walker forgot all about or never actually accomplished this task was finding the visitor logs to the governor's mansion.
How so? the visitor logs, yeah.
Well, yeah, they're still lost.
Right.
They're still lost. And, you know, it was a pretty contentious time, of course, like all of it was. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, gee, how did you lose the visitor's logs? Maria, was she around? So
maybe she packed them in the suitcase on the way back to Russia. I'm not sure.
Yeah, maybe she's sneaking under his toupee or something. Who knows?
Appreciate the call.
We got to get together. Yeah, we got to get together, buddy.
Thank you. Thank you, Sharky. Appreciate the call. Sharky and Racine. Look, I wanted to get to this story today. I think we'll save most of it until next week. But because it's an important one. And another story, great reporter Caitlin Luby from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel a couple days ago almost 9 out of 10 pounds of Great Lakes beach litter each year is plastic. Get this. An average of 86% of the litter collected each year on Great Lakes beaches is plastic, according to a new report based on 20 years of data collected from more than 14,000 beach cleanups. The report by the Alliance for the Great Lakes offers a grim reminder that plastic never fully disappears. Instead, it breaks down into ever smaller microplastics, which are a threat to the environment and, guess what? Human health. While plastic pollution in oceans often gets the most attention, the damage of the Great Lakes is arguably riskier since people drink the water. According to a volunteer engagement manager at the Alliance for Great Lakes and author of the report, every year, 22 million pounds, let me say that again, 22 million pounds of plastic winds up in the Great Lakes, half of which goes into Lake Michigan, according to the report. Most of the microplastics present in the lakes are less than 5 millimeters in size, about the width of a human hair. Report also outlines a way to reduce plastic pollution, noting that while individuals can certainly make a difference, substantial change will require action from businesses, governments, and manufacturers. Goes on from there. We're going to talk about this more next week because I think it's a really important report. And again, she's talking about, and this is very important to bring it home to the Great Lakes in Wisconsin. I've been to El Salvador in Central America 39 times over the last 25 or so years. And one of my favorite things to do is to walk along the Pacific at sunrise. And I have seen over the years the waste in the ocean, the plastics in the ocean. It is getting worse. We'll talk about it next week. Going to talk a little bit of a lighter news ahead. Peter Rapine, managing editor of EBOM's World, comes in with a lighter look. The Week in Review. Do not miss it. Your news, weather, sports, and ag updates start now on Civic Media. Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, and it's 34 minutes now past the hour of 1 o'clock. It is Pantsless Friday on Friday, April 12th, 2024. It is warm here in the studio. Mr. Zomers, can we take a look one more time outside at State Street? We have a new State Street cam. By the way, Peter Rapine is joining us here on the show. He is the managing editor of EPOM's World. Look at this, Peter. We now have a street cam, and we can view out onto State Street at any given moment. And, you know, there we are. A little street music there, courtesy of Mr. Zomers. We have a woman walking to a late lunch there. She's trying to find where she's going. And see, God bless the person, by the way, on the bike who's actually following the stoplights, right? That's a pet peeve of mine. So occasionally we can look out and find out what's happening in the real world there. So thank you, Mr. Zomers. We appreciate that. Thank you, Peter Rapine, managing editor of EPOM's World, for joining us each and every other Friday for a Week in Review, lighter look at the news. Peter, how the heck are you?
I'm fantastic. It's been a week for the record books.
It certainly has. Now, I have to ask for those watching the stream, you know, it's none of my business what you do in your private life, but are you, it looks like you're joining us from a jail cell. It looks like you're in a white room with a cell block above you. Are you okay? Are you okay?
Yeah. If I blink twice, call for help. No, I'm good. I'm usually in a bigger conference room, but it's busy today, so I'm relegated to the jail cell.
We appreciate you
coming
on. Hopefully
they let me out by six. Yeah.
For good behavior.
Of course. Yeah. No, I look forward to being with you guys every other Friday.
Well, it's great.
We have some really good headlines to talk about today.
And to remind people who might not join us on these segments, Peter Rapine and his great staff at EBOM's World. You can find their work at ebomsworld.com. And this is not fiction. These are not things that you've created out of your head. These are actual people doing real things. We're simply reporting the news as it happens. And your staff and you have scoured the headlines to bring us the wackiest and most bizarre of human behavior.
Yes. No, we try our best to not get got. Mm-hmm. And everything we have today is real. That actually happened. And we're going to talk about it.
All right. Let's get into it. Headlines Week in Review with Peter Raphon.
Yeah. So obviously this week was eclipse week. A lot of stories about the eclipse. And I have two specific I want to talk about. Mm-hmm. The first story comes to us from Mexico. I'm just going to read the headline and I won't get too graphic in my detail.
Right.
The video's on the homepage. You got to go and find it. Mexican news station airs man's balls instead of eclipse.
And this is real. It's absolutely real.
You can't make it up. Yeah.
So tell us what happened.
Yeah. So this news station in Mexico asked for viewers to send in footage of them watching the eclipse. Mm-hmm. And they were sharing compilation, you know, kind of segments of from, you know, so-and-so, Jorge, or yada, yada. Mm-hmm. And they play a video that starts off viewing the sun. And then slowly a man's, you know, nether region comes down into the shot and eclipses the sun. And you can see it all in its very detailed glory. Quickly, the host of the segment cut the video, which was already too late.
I'm glad the only thing got cut, but go ahead.
Yeah. And they had a good laugh about it. And as it did, it went mega viral.
Well, of course.
Definitely the best eclipse footage I've seen the event this week.
It had the advantage of probably having never been tried before.
Well, it's one of those things that, like, when I saw it at first, I was like, I feel like I've seen this in a dream before. Like, I've been anticipating this moment my whole life. And I had to look at one of my coworkers. I'm like, is this video old? And he looks at me and goes, dude, I feel like I've lived this and I've seen this years ago. But it was new. It was not an old video.
These were viewer, like, live shots from viewers, or people submitted it and they just weren't, like, nobody looked at it before or what?
Yeah, so they were submitted. They weren't live feeds or anything. So obviously whoever's job it was to go through the clips maybe got fired.
Probably doesn't have a job anymore. I don't know.
Yeah. I know.
That may be the best one right there. I mean, that's hard to top, right?
Yeah, maybe we'll just call it. I'll see you guys see you next week. I don't think I have anything better than that.
No. But that's a great way to start off. That's a great way to start off. That's just fantastic. All right, next. What else we got here?
All right. So this one is really silly. Headline reads, man sues 50 women who made fun of him on Facebook for being a bad date.
And this really happened. He got sued 50 times.
Or no, he sued 50
women. He's suing them. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So a guy named Stuart Murray found that a bunch of women had set up a Facebook page where they were sharing photos and tea about him because they realized that he was dating all of them. And they were really going after him. They're saying he's a terrible date, what a jerk he is. And so he got a lawyer and he decided to sue all of them for, I think, the tune of $2 million. Yeah, $2.6 million is what he's asking for because he's claiming that they besmirched his good name on the internet.
Maybe he deserved it.
Yeah, I would assume so.
Was he trying to look at the eclipse with his pants down, or was this the same guy? You know, I don't know.
I mean, the funny thing is like, if you're dating 50 women and they're all roasting you on the internet,
right?
You really think the best way to get a good date is to sue them?
Right, exactly. And really, I mean, if you're... It wasn't all at the same time, right? It was like over the length of time. I mean, how can you date?
Yeah.
It's like the old Paul Simon song, right? 50 ways to leave your lover. Only he had 50 lovers to leave.
Well, I think the Huberman guy could probably pull it off.
Right? I mean, that's just ridiculous. But you hear about this, right? You hear, this is real. This is not made up. Some dude trying to date 50 women just simultaneously or one after another like this. Clearly he wasn't serious about a relationship. He probably deserved to get sued.
Yeah. Or he deserved to, you know, get made fun of on the internet.
Yeah,
at least.
Yeah.
It's pretty harmless.
And that's the thing with today's dating cycle is the internet's out there. And I mean, if you're going to be dating 50 women at once or trying to, don't expect to be, you know, loved on the internet.
Well, I think there probably is a good app for this. If anyone who has any ties to Silicon Valley is listening, an app where women can rate men that they have dated. If there was a legit app that had like a database of like Paul P is a good guy, I dated him, but it was mutual. If there's an app like that, I feel like guys would actually behave a little better on dates.
I think you're probably right. I mean, we have ratings like a Yelp, really?
Like rate my professor, but rate my date, you know?
Right. A Yelp for men. Rate the person. Are they a good date or not?
Yeah, that's a great idea.
I think we've struck on something here, Peter. Peter Rapine, managing editor of EPOM's World, joining us each and every other Friday for a week in review. Peter, what's the next headline for us here?
All right, so this one comes to us from TikTok. Gen Z, and we really love to focus on when younger generations are finding things that the older generations already know.
All right.
We really love to know what young kids are really, you know, hip on. And if you know, you know with this one. So Gen Z is learning a hard lesson about Mad Dog 2020. And if you don't know what Mad Dog 2020 is, it's a liqueur. It's very sweet. And if you've ever drank in it, you know what it feels like the next morning. It doesn't feel great.
Not good.
It's one of those drinks that's really easy to drink because of how sweet it is. And so it kind of went viral the last couple of weeks on TikTok with a bunch of Gen Zers saying, hey, guys, you look what I found. And so we just have a nice roundup of all these young Gen Z kids drinking and
bring in our resident Gen Zer here. Mr. Zomers, are you familiar with MD 2020 and have you participated and have your friends?
No. As far as I'm aware, no.
No.
I just looked it up. And I was like, you know, I've seen this before in like a liquor store, but I'm not sure. I don't recall.
Probably better to stay away from it.
I think based on how you guys are talking about it, that's my plan.
Because it says in here, you know, unless you're too young to remember like Jaeger bombs, Jägermeister.
Oh, no. I have a big old bottle of Jaeger in my cabinet for the occasional Jaeger bomb.
Do you really?
I also got it for $20 and it was supposed to be $60. So that's why I have it.
Well, okay.
I've had it for years.
All right, well, yeah, it's a steal at any price. All right, anything else on this one, or should we go to the next one, Peter Rapine?
Let's keep moving on.
All right, next.
So this next one, I found this guy who has it's a really old YouTube account, and the name of his channel is Rock the Farting Dad. And what he does is he strictly posts videos of himself on YouTube farting into his Ring doorbell cameras.
Now, see, why do people do this? But just because people like us put them on the air, right?
Well, I mean, you got to have a hobby, you know?
All right. Very good.
don't yuck his yum.
Believe me, I would.
Now, also, I just hope that if he has grandkids, that they know not to go and mess around with their camera.
Well, yes, that's
because,
true.
Like,
right?
I feel like a little kid's thing would be like, I'm going to go make faces in the Ring doorbell camera and lick it or something.
Oh, lordy. Here, by the way, here's off the text line, Robert McFarland about the last story. He says, I don't think MD 2020 is a thing in Wisconsin. I've only seen it down south. Well, so maybe regional. I don't know. What do you think, Peter? I'm not sure.
I didn't know that.
Well, very good. See, Rob, our listeners always chime in. We appreciate it. So we got this dad who decides to relieve himself, fart in the Ring doorbell camera. What's the point?
I don't have the answer for that. I don't know.
And he posts this online?
Yeah, so our headline reads, dude blasts a White Castle cheeseburger fart into his Ring doorbell camera. And the video is 30, 40 seconds long. He walks in front of his camera and goes, I just ate a White Castle cheeseburger.
I mean, it's third grade.
Yeah.
And is he really a
dad?
But
we love it.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I assume so. Yeah, we assume so. I mean, yeah. Who knows? He might not be.
And then he is the kind of dad who's going to then yell at his kids for doing stuff like this.
I hope not. Not if he's the one, you know.
Right, the hypocrite of all hypocrites, right? All right, we're talking with Peter Rapine, a managing editor of EPOM's World. A lighter look at the week in review. Actual crazy things that crazy humans do. About a minute here before the first break, Peter. What else you got for us? 2 minutes. All right, two minutes.
Yes, the next one. Headline reads, man dresses as a trash bag to steal Amazon packages.
Now, this is real.
Story comes to us. It is very real and very, very hilarious. Comes to us from another Ring doorbell camera, where someone noticed that their packages had been stolen. So they went to their camera to see if they could find the culprit. And they find video footage of a man who's completely covered himself in a trash bag, crawling down their walkway to their front door, stealing their package, and then kind of rolling away. Which kind of genius, I guess.
I'm looking at the photos here that you've posted and the video, and it's just, I mean, the dude literally has a big, I mean, is he a small person or is he all rolled up? I mean, I can't tell because it literally, he looks like a blob in a trash bag, and he goes up and he pushes the trash bag over the package like a shell game thing and then disappears.
All good questions. I know. The funny thing is, because if I was this homeowner, I would probably just watch the video and go, man, kudos to you. You earned that package.
It's, right? It's creative.
But probably a smaller person.
Yeah. I mean, it's
incredibly creative. Yeah.
I mean, I hope that some parent doesn't put their kid up to this. Uncle often.
I know. We looked and ABC had it. And so we assume that it's legit. Obviously, something like that, you kind of have to take a grain of salt.
Right, right.
Someone might be trying to get one over on us.
But ABC had it on, so we'll blame it. We'll blame it on the American Broadcasting Company. All right, we're going to take a short break here, do a little business, come back, and by the way, a texter on WMDX. I grew up in La Crosse and unfortunately drank plenty of MD 2020 in my teen years. A firsthand account. Back with Peter Rapine after this, the Week in Review on Civic Media. Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 10 before the hour of 2 o'clock. At the top of the hour, our friend Maggie Dawn takes over these airwaves. The Maggie Dawn Show every afternoon from 2 until 4. Don't want to miss it. Maggie Dawn has a full show prepared for us today, right after the top of the hour news. We are talking in this segment, as we do each and every other Friday. We always appreciate it. It's a great way to end the week after some rather serious and hard news of the week. Great to have Peter Rapine, the managing editor of EPOM's World, with a lighter look. We can review. These are real stories that real humans do. And you put them all together, Peter, and bring them to us. So we appreciate it so much.
Hey, I appreciate you too, Todd.
Yeah, it's just the best part of the week. And by the way, this MD 2020 story, tracking a lot with our listeners. Here's somebody that says,
love it.
I grew up in La Crosse, unfortunately drank plenty of MD 2020 in my teen years. Another texter says MD 2020 was a thing while I was in college back in the 70s. So there you go.
And Jeff Perry on Facebook says, instead of MD 2020, I remember Boone's Farm.
Oh, now I don't remember that one. Do you?
No, that's a name I've not heard in a long time. No, I'm kidding. I've never heard of that.
All right, Peter Rapine, what other headlines do we have in the week in review?
So this one might be one of the dumbest ones of the week. Headline reads, Elon Musk confirms he has a Twitter burner account where he pretends to be a baby.
Oh my gosh. And this is real.
It's very real. Very funny. So the news actually about it broke maybe 4 or 5 months ago. Mm-hmm. Elon had shared a screenshot of his Twitter page or of his Twitter iPhone app on Twitter. And someone had noticed that there was another avatar in the corner. And so they did some sleuthing and found that it was associated with an account called Elon Test. Mm. And on the account, people recognized that the person running the account was pretending to be a baby.
Okay.
Where they would tweet things like, I wish I could go to a nightclub. I'm a little kid and I've never been to a nightclub. just very odd things that you when you read, you go, this can't actually be real.
Right.
Like, there's no way this is actually real. And then this week, or I think last week, Elon was in a deposition. He's being sued. I'm not 100% certain on the details of the lawsuit, but in the deposition, he does admit to having a burner account that he would use to run tests on Twitter. So it was finally confirmed that Elon Test, the fake baby account that people thought was his, actually is his.
So Elon Musk, one of the richest people in the world, just for giggles, apparently has a burner Twitter account in which he pretends to be a baby, and he has sworn this to be truthful under oath in a deposition.
You've got it.
So, I mean, was there anything even, I mean, are there just goofy tweets?
Weird, very weird tweets. So things like
some disturbing that we probably, but go ahead.
Yeah, some things I might not be allowed to say on air.
Yeah. But, and a little goofy, I mean, a little, to me, this Elon Musk guy, I mean, he may be very smart in some levels, but he also appears to be a little disturbed.
Yeah. So one of the tweets was directed at his ex-wife, Grimes. He tweeted something along the lines of, Grimes has left the king of SpaceX. She must really hate herself. Blah, blah, blah. He's so cool. Yada, 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 something. I can't exactly remember
what he was.
Most of them have been deleted since.
I'm sure they have.
Like, you know what I'm saying, right? The most divorced man of all time, yada, yada. But yeah.
It just goes to show you that the uber rich are generally just goofy. Here's Jeff Perry says, in my Twitter burner account, I pretend to be an adult. That's pretty good. Oh, my goodness gracious. All right, very good. What else we have here, Peter Repon?
Yeah, so let's see. So this comes to us from Europe. It's kind of a short one, but it's a fun post. So Bavarian police stage underwear protests because they can't get uniforms. I guess there is a problem with issuing new uniforms to Bavarian police officers. And so to protest that, a bunch of cops walked around in their underwear.
I'm looking at the photos and the video, and I'm loving every part of this.
Yeah, it's a short little clip of two, you know, police officers getting out of a car, no pants on. Didn't you say today's no pants day?
Yes, ironically enough.
Ironically, it is. Well, good thing I came prepared.
You did. These are not actors. Apparently, these are real police officers in Bavaria. And they have kind of these, kind of like, I don't know, briefs, kind of like compression short underwear briefs on, and both male and female. And they've decided to just walk around the greater Bavaria area pantsless because they're not getting good uniforms.
Just strutting their stuff, you know?
I massively respect that. If your employer that's supposed to give you a uniform just doesn't give you a uniform, then, oh, well, that's how they equipped you to do the job.
Right?
Exactly. Imagine chasing, you know, criminal down in without pants on. No one wants to go to jail, but what else might happen?
Right, exactly. You know, I mean, the next thing you know, people are going to be looking at an eclipse with no pants on.
That would be odd.
But see, I mean, this is human nature. Again, these are not made up stories. These are real things. We have, in this case, video and picture proof that, you know, if you don't get what you want as a worker, just take it off. Strip bare, as the article says.
Exactly.
All right. Anyway, I got about a minute left here. Peter Ray Pine, anything else for us, or do you want to end on that?
No, I got one more. So last eclipse story of the week. Christians are bracing for another potential rapture, except they're 6 years too late.
Yes.
So this week, a lot of Christians thought the rapture was going to happen.
Because of the eclipse.
Because of the eclipse. Mm. Honestly, I'll admit I was pretty hopeful that it was going to happen too.
Just said, you know, enough's enough.
I've repented. I'm ready to go.
Right. Sure, on. Right.
But it didn't happen. And then so people kind of latched onto another news story about another potential rapture that was supposed to happen April 23rd of this month. Mm. But it turns out that the news that people were reacting to was actually from 2018.
a little
bit. So not only did they miss the rapture once, they missed it twice.
Missed it once, shame on me. Missed it twice, shame on you. Peter Rapine, we never miss it. We always miss you when you're not with us. We always appreciate you being here. Managing editor of EPOM's World, we appreciate your time. That week review, have a great weekend, my friend. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Thanks, Todd. Take care.
Yep, thank you. That wraps the show for today. Thank you to Kelly Meyerhofer from Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Mr. Zommers on the board, each and every one of you for listening. We appreciate you. Stay tuned for Maggie Dawn next. Matt Flynn will be with us on Monday to talk about his Supreme Court announcement. Or not. We'll find out Monday. Until then, make it a great weekend. Keep banging your drum. See you then.